are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Friday, November the 1st. And back-to-back games once again this weekend. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA, for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to talk about the weekend ahead with the Chicago Bulls and the Brooklyn Nets. We'll go deeper on Chicago and also on Derrick Rose with Jordan Malley of Locked On Bulls, the sister podcast for us here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're trying to get all the Central Division rival podcasts on before the first time the Pistons play those teams. But we got open lines for you on the Google voicemail line for this weekend, so call us if you got reaction to the games or anything else you got reaction to. I got Andy from Ann Arbor in the queue already. We'll get him out there when we can, probably sometime early next week. But we got a slot for you as well. So call and give your name and where you live and open phones. So call about whatever you want, and we'll get you on there if it's under 90 seconds and deemed worthy, deemed appropriate, all those good things as well. 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. We'll get you on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. But the Pistons head into the weekend at 2-3 on the season with a couple of winnable games despite being underhanded, or a couple of losable games as well. We know every game on the schedule without Blake Griffin is certainly a losable one. First on Friday with an 8 o'clock start, the Bulls in the United Center in the Windy City, the Madhouse on Madison, a place that I've covered many games in my lifetime. The Bulls are 1-4. The Pistons still 3.5-point dogs, despite that, meaning that it's nearly a pick 'em. Actually, Bulls favored by 0.5 on a neutral court, given the injury situations that the Pistons are dealing with. Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson are out once again, according to the 8:30 p.m. official NBA injury report that dropped at 8:30, if you can believe it or not, tonight as I record this on Thursday night. We'll have an update early at 1:30. Check my Twitter feed for that tomorrow, but I suspect that the official report, injury report, don't lie, just like the ball don't lie, like Rashid says, and maybe possible that both or one or maybe neither of those guys will be back in action for the second of a back-to-back against Brooklyn. Actually kind of a shrewd move if you think about it, that if you have people that might be ready to come off of injury, but you obviously don't want to play them on back-to-backs to start off their time off the injured list. And so maybe you have some people you want to get some rest on the second half, so you play the guys that are healthy in the first one, get that extra day for the people coming off the injuries, and maybe get them in for the second of the back-to-back. I don't know if that's the case or not, but if you want to be an optimistic fan, maybe you can join me into that belief that that might be what's going on with the injury situation with the Detroit Pistons and Coach Dwayne Casey. We'll not talk much about the Bulls because we have Jordan Malley on a little bit later today on the show to talk about that. So let's move on to Brooklyn. It's a 7 o'clock game back in Little Caesars Arena against the Brooklyn Nets. Both teams coming in off a back-to-back on this one. No line on this one because neither teams are ready to roll because they're both playing on Friday night. So I'll guess that it's a pick 'em. Just throwing that out there, guessing that Brooklyn might be 3 points better on a neutral court and that the Pistons might even that up with a pick 'em, given that they're home at Little Caesars Arena. By the way, if you want to do some advanced scouting for this one, Brooklyn is playing the Rockets tonight at home on ESPN, a 7 o'clock start, an hour before the Pistons get started. So settle in to NBA basketball 1 hour early and give me a nice scouting report on the Brooklyn Nets, a nice team for the Nets to be playing if you are a Pistons fan on Friday night in the Houston Rockets. Could wear them out, force them to defend, force them to chase shooters, work on those tired legs a little bit there. But the Nets coming into tonight are 1-3. They added Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and DeAndre Jordan, traded for Taurean Prince as well. Wilson Chandler of Benton Harbor, although he is suspended for the first 25 games of the season. The Nets still have from last year Michigan's Caris LeVert, former Detroit Piston draft pick Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris of the USA national team this past offseason, and Jared Allen, one of my favorite young guys in the league, just torpedoed his minutes to bring in DeAndre Jordan. Great work, guys. And some nice bit players at the end of the rotation, and David Nwaba, Kurox, Garrett Temple's a guy that's well-liked around the league. These are the two teams in the quote-unquote top 10 of the Eastern Conference that I had outside of the playoffs. A lot of people love the Nets. I don't love the way that Kyrie Irving affects teams' chemistry. We've seen that already with the reports that the Nets are tired of the moodiness that Kyrie Irving brings to the table in Brooklyn. I think I don't like a situation where a team has Kevin Durant and they're just looking ahead to next year and they could kind of have this season as a little bit of a wash. Not a lot of urgency. And also the fact that you had that good chemistry from last season and you jettisoned a lot of those guys from last year. Not to say that's a bad move. Not to say that, you know, this is a team that gets closer to NBA championship, obviously, by adding Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. You do that 10 times out of 10. But I do worry about the short-term effect of doing those kind of moves and making those kind of changes with a team that was headed in the right direction. After this weekend, the Pistons will play at Washington on Monday, another three games in four nights, road home run, road there. And then looking ahead to next week, Wednesday host to the Knicks, then back in Indiana on Friday to play the Pacers, who might be without Miles Turner, who injured himself on Thursday night. Maybe Blake will be back by then, so the Pacers might be even more of a sitting duck for the Pistons to play next weekend. And then finally, 2 days off on Saturday and Sunday. What are we going to do with our time next weekend with no Pistons basketball? I'm sure we'll find something to do. But Indochino, maybe we'll use Indochino, buying ourselves some nice outfit, go partying, go out on the town, whatever we do on the weekend. But it's the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Up next, we're going to be joined by Jordan Malley of Locked On Bulls, one of the best shows on the network, one of the best hosts on the network. Glad to be joined by him. But hey, you know what my favorite part about this time of year is? It's sweater weather, the leaves are on the ground, and threes from downtown. That's right. For some, it's fall season, but for the rest of us, it's ball season. Good stuff there. Pro and college ball are tipping off, and there's no better way to feel a part of the action, get your own action going, than to have a stake in the game with mybookie.ag. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. Either way, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you really want to support your Detroit Pistons this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with mybookie.ag, or maybe you want to be one of those stickler fans or one of those fans that want to kind of buy your way into a more satisfying night by saying, hey, the Pistons, I'll be happy if they win. And if they lose, maybe I'll lay some money against the Pistons, go the money line for the other team. That way, if I'm sad that the Pistons lost, at least I want some money. That's the kind of guy I am, by the way. That's probably not a good way to live your life, but sometimes that's what I do. Mitigate the sadness. Make some money off of your own sorrow. Might as well profit if you're going to be sad. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by Jordan Malley of the Locked On Bulls podcast. We've had Matt Peck on a couple times before, but Jordan, thanks for taking the time to join us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
For sure. So we got Derrick Rose returning to Chicago tonight, and this is obviously not the first time that he's played against the Bulls in Chicago, but we know the ties that bind with Derrick Rose and the Windy City. It's got to be still weird even seeing, after a few years now, just still seeing him be back in town playing against the Bulls, right?
Yeah, it is a bit strange, and especially kind of how it ended with a lot of Bulls fans. Felt like Bulls fans kind of turned on him at the end. It seemed like the relationship between the front office and the fans and Derrick Rose came to an end when they traded him to New York. So it has been a little bit weird. You've seen him in New York, seen him in Cleveland, and now here in Detroit, or in Minnesota too last year. So I feel like the welcome too, as far as what Derrick Rose is going to get at the United Center, I think it's going to be pretty good. Like Derrick Rose, I think he got MVP chance at one point when playing with the Timberwolves last year when he showed up at the United Center. So I think the there will always be Derrick Rose fans, and people will always show out at the United Center to see him. So, but it is a little bit strange seeing him in that Detroit blue.
Yeah, and I got to say, I'm surprised. I know that the Derrick Rose thing obviously is huge in Chicago, but like you said, all over the country, there's Derrick Rose fans, and I've been surprised about how many people are just Derrick Rose fans here in the city of Detroit even before he got here. And now these people who are kind of alienated from basketball the last decade of Pistons basketball, a lot of people are just kind of on board just because he's here. But as far as Rose being with the Pistons, like you said, I know we're, you know, a couple decades away from the Jordan Bulls and the Pistons with Isaiah Thomas and everything. But is it a little bit extra seeing it with the Pistons uniform? Is it a little bit hurtful to maybe the big Derrick Rose fans out there?
I'm sure it is to older fans. You know, I'm not old enough to remember the true rivalry between the Pistons and the Bulls. So I'm sure, like, older fans probably in their 30s, their 40s, maybe in their even their late 20s kind of remember that. And maybe there is a little extra sting. But I think the one place I didn't want to see him go was place like Golden State or team up LeBron again. I know he tried that in Cleveland, but I think that would hurt Bulls fans the most. But now I think it's kind of over with. I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking from personal thought, but I feel like a lot of Rose fans now have seen him. Now he's what, with his fourth team. So I think a lot of people have come to terms with Derrick Rose not being a Chicago, essentially a Chicago Bull icon of this generation type of player here in Chicago. So I feel like it's okay. It's to me, it's pretty much. I would say a lot of fans have gotten over it now at this point, but it is probably a little bit harsher for older fans to see him playing in Detroit Piston blue.
And we'll move on from Derrick Rose, I promise. But one more question on it. James Edwards of The Athletic has a nice story where he actually watched some of Derrick Rose's biggest plays and best and most spectacular plays with the Bulls with him and got some comments from him on it. Do you have one that stands out? Is it that bank in the playoffs to win on the long three there? Or is there another one that stands out?
Yeah, I think you always have the Dragic dunk too with Stacey King's call. That's a huge one. Mm-hmm. But if there's one defining moment for me as far as a Derrick Rose fan goes, is it's got to be the bank to go up 2-1 against LeBron's team. Really the Bulls' last hope as far as championship. Maybe this is a championship contending team. They were up 2-1 against Cleveland. Then LeBron the night later hits a game winner to dagger to tie the series. So I think that's probably my favorite moment though, because he overcame both of those knee injuries, devastating losses, all those things surrounding him off the court too. He came back for that one night and hit the special shot. So I think the call on top of that, if you were watching it on TV, kind of emulates everything that Bulls fans felt for just that moment. But it's too bad that that team, that generation of Bulls fans will never see what the true peak of Derrick Rose was. But in turn, I think a lot of fans have accepted too the fact that Derrick Rose has kind of moved on. He's in a different role now. And I think for most fans, they'd rather see him out there playing right now in this sort of role. Maybe it's a little bit lesser degree as far as all-star caliber, but I think fans would rather see him out there than his career be completely destroyed by injuries and whatever else was going on off the floor.
Well, I got to tell you, through five games with the Detroit Pistons right now, he's been the second or third best player on the current healthy roster right now for the Pistons, which has been a pretty incredible feat. And he's been doing very well and kind of been carrying that second unit, which was the hope, but not necessarily the expectation for 31-year-old Derrick Rose. But let's talk Bulls a little bit here. Wanted to have each of the Locked On hosts on for the first time that they play the Central Division rivals. And the Bulls kind of came in this season here with a little bit of juice, kind of lumped in with the Pistons on that anywhere from 3-10, but maybe something like 6-10 as far as the teams that will be contending for the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoff spot or could find themselves a spot or two outside. Saw a lot of national folks talking about predicting the Bulls to be 6th, 7th, or 8th seed, something like that. And, of course, some still say they might be a year away or so. What's the early returns? Obviously, the record's not where it wants to be for Bulls fans, but what's kind of the good and the bad so far through five games?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of concern, not just because of the record, but what we're actually seeing on the floor. For one, I think a lot of people expected the offense to be a lot better. I think Lauri Markkanen especially A lot of people expected him to be better right off the bat. He had one good game against Charlotte where he dropped 35. But other than that, I think his performances have been lackluster. Him and Zach LaVine trying to close games as well, I don't think has been all that great. You look at leads that they've blown in the third or the fourth quarter and the amount of points that they're giving up in the fourth quarter. And in turn, too, you just look at the Knicks game. They didn't score for the last 3.5 minutes of a game. So I think a lot of fans are really, really worried about what's going on with this offense. And I think it all starts with Otto Porter Jr. Talked a lot about this week on Locked On Bulls. Is Otto Porter's slow start, I think, has contributed to a lot of the struggles the offense has had. Last year when the offense was at its peak in February, where Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen were thriving, I think a lot of that started with Otto Porter opening up things by knocking down key shots, knocking down three-pointers. And we're just really not seeing that at this point. And I think Thomas Satoransky has been a little bit of a disappointment. But Thaddeus Young has been a really good pickup as far as free agent signings and who the Bulls acquired in the offseason. So I think the panic button's not getting hit right now. But fans are definitely disappointed with the start the Bulls have had.
And you figure that Otto Porter, maybe the more established guy on that roster alongside Zach LaVine, as guys that you pretty much bank on playing pretty well, and that the young guys come along as they could and as they should. And if Porter's not making it happen, then you might be in some trouble. But let's talk about one of the young guys, one of the more intriguing names, the first-round draft pick this year, Coby White out of North Carolina, a player that, several months before the draft, when we were halfway through the college season, the Pistons looking at needing a point guard of the future and looking at picking in the middle of the first round, a player that we were talking about a lot on the Locked On Pistons podcast, but obviously ended his college season well and had a lot of buzz going into the draft, moved up a little bit before he became that mid-first rounder that he might have been throughout some of the college season. But what's the early returns on Coby White? Is he on schedule so far, and is he kind of exceeding expectations through 5 games? I've seen a couple of nice highlights, and the stats look good as too.
Yeah, I think he's definitely exceeded expectations. Matt and I talked a lot about this offseason saying, we need to be very patient with what we see in Coby White, especially if he struggles early. 19-year-old kid coming out of North Carolina, had some things that needs to be improved on, but one of the fastest players I think we've ever seen in a Bulls uniform. It's flashes of Derrick Rose again, but the quick burst of speed that he has is energetic, and it's a new life to what we normally see from the Bulls. So pairing him alongside Zach LaVine, I think, has been really good at times, but again, there's going to be the rookie wall that Coby White's going to hit at some point here. And we've seen a little bit of struggle. We saw him take over Memphis, and that's part of the reason why the Bulls even have a win this season, is because of Coby White's fourth quarter performance against Memphis. But definitely exceeding expectations as far as I didn't honestly expect him to play a whole lot to start this season, but clearly took over in training camp and preseason and forced the hand of Jim Boylan to say, he should really be part of this rotation. I think the one biggest surprise is for a lot of fans, they thought he was going to take over that point guard position, but it's clear, I think it's becoming clear every game Coby White plays, he should be more of a two guard than anything else. He's really, really good off the ball. His shooting stroke is pure. I think the one thing that he gets kind of crazy with is, and partly Zach LaVine's problem, is tunnel vision. So if Coby White can keep his eyes on the rest of his teammates around the floor at all times, I think we're looking at a guy that can probably score 20 and maybe dish out 8 when he hits his peak in a few years. So very excited with Coby White.
Jordan, last question here for you. Obviously, the Bulls going through the rebuild right now, and I'm sure there are fans that don't understand or don't want the rebuild at all. But for the more intelligent fans who get it and understand this is why the franchise went this route with the Jimmy Butler trade and all that stuff that's happened over the past few years, I got to imagine that this tough start, and we're only 5 games in, 1-4 isn't a death knell by any means, but is there a little bit more angst because of the couple years of losing that's been piled onto each other? I mean, is it overstating it to say it's really important for the Bulls to have a nice 10, 15, 20 game stretch here to kind of keep fans from jumping off the ledge early?
Yeah. And I think the Bulls bought themselves some time this summer with their draft picks. And on top of that, the free agency adds, I think a lot of Bulls fans were satisfied this summer from that. they came to the realization that we weren't going to nab any of the top free agent stars. I think a lot of Bulls fans came to that realization after they traded Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker at the trade deadline last year. With that, though, came expectations, even straight from John Paxson's mouth in the first 3 minutes of his opening statements of the season, was playoffs are our expectation this year. And I think there's no reason for playoffs not to be our expectation in year three of a rebuild with a lot of guys that have played more than three or four seasons in the NBA. Look, I know the Bulls had one of the youngest rosters last year, but they've added some other pieces now, and they're still one of the youngest rosters in the NBA. So we'll give them that. But I think this points again to a lot to management, especially giving Jim Boylan an extension after a 22-win season last year, and especially the start that he got off to. So I think there's a lot riding on the first portion of this season, and I think that was the one thing that I honed in on, especially the last 2 months here, is the first 35 games for the Bulls are incredibly difficult, and this is going to be a pretty much a tell-all of how the season's going to go. Are the Bulls going to be back in the lottery with struggles of guys not reaching their potential, taking their next step? And Markkanen's one of them, Porter's another, Levine's another one, Dunn we really don't know about, Kobe White. All of these guys have to contribute in some part, in some fashion. And if we don't see any progression from these guys, I think Bulls fans are going to be really disappointed. I tweeted out the next 15 games for the Bulls, and I asked Bulls fans, give me the Bulls record after 20 games on December 1st. And a lot of fans were saying the Bulls are going to be 5-15. 4-16, 1-19. The Bulls' schedule is really, really difficult. So for Jim Boylan, I think he's going to definitely need a win streak at some point here. Otherwise, fans are going to be more angry than they were last year, and that's hard to do.
Well, Jordan Malley of Locked On Bulls joining us. I want to compliment you and Matt. You do a great job on the show, one of the better produced shows, better sounding shows on the Locked On Network. Good numbers for you guys as well, and I would encourage the Locked On Pistons listeners to check that out. Obvious that you have a background in radio and all the production and stuff, putting that show together, and we'll just want to get you guys on the record. I didn't hear any episodes where you guys would have or wouldn't have done predictions going into the year, but did you and Matt both or separately or neither have the Bulls as getting into the playoffs this year, or what was your prognostications coming in?
I think the determination Matt and I both came to, and we're pretty good about this as far as the first 3 years of the rebuild, where we think they were in terms of record prediction. I think both of him and I, even if the Bulls stayed fully healthy throughout this entire season, sat around 34 to 37 wins. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I didn't think that they had enough to make a 20-game jump to 42 wins. From last year, you know, there's only been a handful of teams in the NBA that have ever jumped 20 plus games, and they've usually added two or three superstars, talking about the Celtics team and the Suns team from the early 2000s. So yeah, I think Matt and I were right around 34 to 37 wins, but the way the team looks right now, there's got to be a lot of improvement to get to that point at least. So crossing our fingers that maybe we'll be predicted wrong, but I think that's fair for a Bulls team in their third year.
Well, I can imagine. I mean, there were probably years in the East where 37 made the playoffs. So not
It's just a few years ago. I think the Nets made the playoffs under three games or four games under 500.
Yeah, good times in the Eastern Conference. And teams like the Pistons and maybe the Bulls someday are reaping the benefits of trying to go for the playoffs in a conference that is very doable with very mediocre or worse teams sometimes. But Jordan, thanks for your time. Give him a follow on Twitter at Jordan, and that's C-M-A-L-Y. And thanks for the time, and good luck to you guys, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Matt, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks again.
And big thanks once again to Jordan Malley of Locked On Bulls for joining us. I'm excited to see how the Pistons react, and even more excited to get Blake Griffin possibly back in this lineup soon, maybe a healthy Reggie Jackson as well, and we'll see where this Pistons team is at. You know, it'd feel a little unfair if these injuries dragged on and the season gets torpedoed, and then they're, you know, white outside of the playoff race come trade deadline, and you kind of get gypped out of a chance of possibly seeing the team and what they could have achieved this year. No one wants to see injuries. Nobody wants to see teams broken up before they can reach whatever full potential they could have reached. I'm not saying that it's in the stars with this team, but who knows? We could see something happen in the middle and the second half of the season if those guys can get healthy and stay healthy, and if the performances of players like Andre Drummond, Derrick Rose, and Luke Kennard continue to be strong and maybe add a couple of contributions from some of the bit players as well. Who knows? We'll see how all these things unfold. But Bulls and Nets this weekend, certainly a chance to go 2-0, certainly a chance to go 0-2. I'm going to go ahead and be conservative and predict the 1-1 split. What do you guys think? Let me know on social media before tip-off tonight. Or just follow along on Monday. We'll recap these games. We'll look ahead to the Washington Wizards as well. Full weekend. Of course, Pistons basketball ahead. Football as well. Good luck to your teams. Good luck to your bets on mybookie.ag. And, hey, this is your host, Matt Shook, saying, hey, have a great weekend, everyone. We're to November. We're almost to the snow, almost to the holidays, too. So look on the bright side of that. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you guys very soon.